January 6th has been pretty earth-shattering for all of us. Talking with us today is House of Representatives Congressman Paul D. Tonko of the 20th District in New York. Welcome and thanks so much for joining us.
I understand you had a rather major adventure on January 6th.
Absolutely. You know, it was all about heading over from the Rayburn office building where my office, congressional office, is located, and walking across the way to the Capitol to be able to participate in what is a very formal part of the process, but an important part that I think highlights the fact that we have three distinct branches of government, all co-equal, where the legislative branch, the Congress, certifies officially the results of the presidential election. And, you know, the individual states are reported, and Congress approves the electors' statements, and we go forward, and we have what ought to be a peaceful transition, an orderly transition to our next administration. And so it was very exciting to participate and witness, at least, that historic nature of our electoral process. And so I was seated in the gallery. And for COVID compliance sake, there were about maybe a dozen to two dozen of us as colleagues in the gallery space. The remainder were on the floor, I believe 11 or 12 members on the floor. So as, again, to be compliant with COVID regs so as to maintain social distancing and to wear masks and the like. So that's where I found myself at that, what appeared, what became then a very treacherous experience.
Yes, I imagine so. You were in the gallery. When you crossed over from the building, is it all underground or were you, it's an underground passageway, isn't it?
I walked through the underground area.
So were you aware?
Were you aware? At that point, there was no, you know, there was no indication that there was any major disruption. There were those who had reported that there might be some outbursts of activity, but you know, no one really understood what that might mean. But the process was well underway. There were, you know, speeches made by various leaders. Vice President Pence was presiding over the joint session of Congress.
Well, I mean, were you in the gallery? Did they attack the doors and you were inside?
Well, interestingly, you know, we were sitting there and, of course, oblivious to what was going on outside because we're in the business of certifying the election. There began to be like some sort of, you could sense a seriousness coming around about security. And before you knew it, you know, there were reports that the upset individuals, the individuals who were making a statement, breached the Capitol and had broken through. And so I think some of us were picking that up on our phones or iPads, whatever, believing that, you know, there's a ton of Capitol police around and that, you know, this would be handled. And before you knew it, you saw the speaker whisked away and the majority leader, Steny Hoyer, and Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Hoyer, our Majority Whip Clyburn, I believe the Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, and others were then whisked away in rapid fashion. Slight pause in activity, but then started again.
But weren't you concerned? So, were you worried?
Well, that was the first indication that there might be something serious, so they wanted to err on the side of safety. And things, while they paused for a moment, started up again. So I thought that, well, here we go. We have Jim McGovern at the helm now, and, you know, we'll be moving along. And it paused again, and then you could realize that, you know, then you heard the mounting, you could hear the mounting numbers. You could imagine numbers growing in great force. You could start hearing all of the action and people really screaming and raising their voices. you saw then the entire second floor, which is the chamber floor, evacuating. And I'm told they couldn't come up with the key, so they put furniture and desks up against the second floor doors, the many openings that you have to access the house. And, Capitol Police had pulled their guns and aimed their guns and were pushing back at trying to secure that second floor space. I was on the third floor space in the gallery that overviews, has a good bird's eye view of the action, again, for COVID compliance. So the dozen or two dozen of us were up there. For those who have never been to the house, the gallery is divided in several sections, perhaps 14, 16 sections, all broken apart, defined by a railing. And so we are at a far end of the gallery, seated there. You heard then the Capitol Police yelling. They had police at each of the sections, and each of the gallery sections has a double door opening. Okay. And you heard them yelling across each other, lock the doors, lock the doors. And there's two sets of doors. You could then hear all the rattling of the doors and the, you know, the aggressiveness to break through. All while on the second floor, they were guarding that with guns aimed and barricading those doorways. So our colleagues had all been removed from the second floor. We were trapped in the gallery, the dozen or two of us. We were then told to drop down because they were concerned they were going to break through on the second floor. They were beginning to shoot, you know, there were shots fired into the chamber, which was very threatening, all while you heard growing noise and pounding on those doors upstairs to enter in. And all you could think of is if they break through, mass chaos will happen. So we were told to drop down, and then almost immediately, as the plans for escape were unfolding, you're to reach under your chair and pull out this box that has always been there for safety's sake, and it was a gas mask. So you had to unpackage that gas mask and begin the process of putting on the mask, because there was tear gas and they didn't know what other toxins might be being sprayed and filling the environment. The real challenge was we had to go from the farthest end of the gallery to the opposite end to get out of that space, all while they're telling you to move quickly, but at the same time, they're yelling, drop down, as the crowds were screaming and yelling to break in and screaming all kinds of activity. You know, we had to straddle those railings, either go under or hurdle over them in each section. We are moving as quickly as we could, and I think we're operating totally on adrenaline, and got to that escape double doorway, and then ran down some five or six staircases, sets of stairs, yeah, to do our getaway and escape from that unruliness. But, you know, the noise, the screaming, the shooting of the guns, the grenades, it was like a third world nation. It was not America. It was not our capital, the temple of our democracy. It just seemed unfathomable. This certainly was unprecedented. We haven't known of an attack on the Capitol since, what was it, the War of 1812, or certainly in the 1800s. Just very suffocating. It, you know, you could tell people were getting really frightened and trying to not panic, but at the same time move with every bit of strength that you had, so that you could get to that doorway and then begin the other escapade to move for your safety.
How many of you were there?
For us there, it was the two dozen or so of us going down the stairways and then joining several others who were just mass moving through the hallway to find our way to some safety.
Did you find people were panicking?
Some were, yeah, you could tell some were panicking with the event, you know, running through the hallway, through the tunnel. There obviously were people who were, you know, short of breath and, you know, just hanging over the wall, trying to just regain composure and, you know, and trying to just move without any really sense of what was happening, even though you could begin to comprehend it. It was happening so quickly, you didn't have time to think through. You just wanted to move forward and listen to the directions of the police, which were happening and readjusting as we went along because of their communicating to one another, all while many of them were being, you know, challenged severely with a huge crowd and overwhelmed certainly with many, many more people than they could handle.
Do you feel that they were unprepared for this, or?
I believe so. I don't think this was unprecedented, granted, but there should have been an exchange of information that organizers, the president organized this rally that was conducted that late that morning before the procedure started. Mm-hmm. You know, he incited them. He told them, you know, this is not for the faint of heart. We have to go up there and really be strong and make the change. And I'm going to be up there marching with you on this Capitol, and we're going to take that mm-hmm. back. This all based on fraudulent, a message of fraud, which they knew time and time again was rejected by the court 60 times over. There were moments where many situations where the legal team for the president didn't even defend their case because they knew there was no defense for what they were saying. In this given 2020 election, this past 2020 election, the results were scrutinized. The process was very, very much overviewed with every bit of concern for free and fair as an outcome. And so it's been proven, you know, because of the 2016 experience and the many, many proclamations of fraud, every effort was made to make certain that this was fair, that voters were not suppressed, that everyone had an opportunity to vote in a fair and free election, which obviously was then proven. But the messaging on this was so far from accurate. The fact that you could incite people and believe that your election was stolen, It was a sad note that was delivered here onto our republic, onto our democracy. You know, a deep, deep, profound bit of sadness, especially as you think back now and see some of the renderings, the tapes of what was going on, all while you were sitting there, you know, just vaguely understanding what was happening. It was an emotional, continues to be an emotional situation. As more and more film is being shared, more and more accounting of the situation, more and more info that comes our way, the determination to, do anything to prove your point, and some of the treatment of the police officers, within the leadership of this nation, an individual that resorted to kind of a violent message and a response that was just out of the ordinary, not utilizing the various procedures or processes that can air your concerns, but rather just an outright exploitation of anger and violence. And it's tragic that you can have a huge crowd encouraged by someone who should, you know very well that there are these transitions and that they happen, should happen in an orderly fashion.
Congressman Tanco, is there something about incitement to riot? Isn't that what we're looking at?
Yeah, I think, as we moved with the orders of impeachment, the articles of impeachment, the concern is just that putting the Constitution and our symbol of freedom, our capital, our dome under risk, at great risk, is what this is about. You know, the republic is challenged here. The outburst was encouraged.
Government has requested the president to resign, and documents have been signed and brought to Vice President Pence, who refused to agree to that. So we've now moved on to, in fact, it's happening right now, I believe, the articles of impeachment are being voted on. What happens? What can we expect?
Well, there were There were three opportunities. There was resignation. There was the invoking of the 25th Amendment, right, where the cabinet determines to displace the president with Vice President Pence assuming office, or the impeachment. And it appears that the only avenue that will remain open is the impeachment, where already there's bipartisan show of support. The third ranking member of the House, Representative Cheney, has made a very bold statement about, you know, the actions of the president, and they are used as a rationale, those actions, for the impeachment. There are many colleagues who joined. There were colleagues who joined in this participation, allegedly. So I think there's a call here for investigation to see just what role my colleagues played in this insurrection, in the sedition. You know, there's a lot of information gathering that needs to be done. If we don't learn from this wicked experience, we will have let down our republic, and our democracy will be tarnished for it.
So what happens next? What do you see as a solution to mending this horrible division?
Well, I think, you know, we have to understand that unity, healing, coming together, moving forward with optimism and peace is based on truth. And so the search for truth here, not manufactured concepts, but truth. As that verification comes, then I think we need to submit to the truth and go forward and begin that process of healing as a nation, taking on the many, many issues that are so urgent in nature, from the COVID pandemic, where just today, I think over 4,000 people have succumbed to the virus. There's no time to waste here, but there's every need to dig thoroughly, deeply, and perhaps painfully into the search for truth, and then act based upon that truth.
You have initiated the articles of impeachment. You also approved of the counting of the votes.
And several times over. Yeah, I mean, in many cases.
So what more needs to be done? What more do you need to do? What more do we, the public, need to do? How can we move this forward and start to heal?
You've got many groups that are searching into all sorts of investigatory processes, including the FBI and certainly the Capitol Police. I mean, I know the FBI has made several arrests already. That will delve, I think, many organizations into deeper study as to what was happening here. There's nothing stopping the Congress, both houses, from conducting hearings and oversight and investigations, so that we can respond to the demands that we all bear by taking an oath of office, pledging our allegiance to the Republic, to the Constitution. And we all as citizens owe it to our great Republic to make certain that we search for the truth.
There's so many divisions right now where people don't trust one another. And not only in the Congress, not only between the Republicans and the Democrats, but between the public and our representatives. How can we nurture that into something more positive and less destructive?
Well, again, I think data and information will lead us to the truth we all require. And we have to hope that people will submit to that truth. And I think it can be done with a tone of unity that is constantly shared by leadership to this nation, which is hurting right now. I can tell you many, many constituents have said to me they watched in horror. They wept. They were totally destroyed by what they were watching. We have a system that, even with its imperfections, is a system that allows us opportunity, and we should take those opportunities and work them to the max so that we build upon the framework and move yet closer to perfection, as we were challenged by our founders as a people in search of a perfect union. There's a shattered feeling, you know, the historic nature of the Capitol building, our shrine of a democracy, envied around the world, has suffered some scars. And, there's a heaviness there, and there's, you know, it's interesting to see how folks entered into the mix to take on and move forward and build a brighter day and brighter tomorrow.
Do you think that there's a continual danger?
I think that, you know, the process will be worked through, and I think that, you know, justice will prevail, and we'll move forward and show that the Republic, even when challenged in such a dramatic and painful way, the Republic is still structured with the strengths of her democracy.
Well, that sounds like a great way to end this conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Andrea.